You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show, this week in WordPress and SaaS. This is episode 936. In this episode, we've got a great guest. We've got Mark Benzacian. I probably totally butchered his surname.
It's Benzacane. It sounds like a medication. Yeah.
Benzacane. I need one this morning, don't I, Mark?
That's okay. Your other compatriot over there, Nathan Wrigley, mispronounces my name on the regular.
Do not take it personally, Mark.
I managed
to butcher almost every guest.
That's okay.
It's become a tribe, actually. The tribe that listens to this actually are greatly amused by it. Mark's got great history in WordPress, in the WordPress community. He came on my radar with a great interview that he did with Matt Madeus a few weeks ago. He agreed to come on the show before the hand grenade of Matt Malweg with WP Engine. Like I say, Mark came on my radar with a great interview he did with the other Matt. And it was around a WordCamp presentation that Mark did. I can't remember how far ago you did that, but...
It was in July of this year, yeah. So...
So we'll be discussing some of the areas that he covered in his recent interviews and a few other things. So Mark, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the tribe?
My name is Mark Benzacane, as we've already covered, and I am currently the marketing manager for Main WP. And before I get too far in anything, I have to remember to do my disclaimer that I've been doing on this particular topic, which is everything expressed here is strictly my opinion. It has nothing to do with Main WP or Site District, which is another company that I do some marketing for. Their opinions are their own. We haven't actually ever shared our opinions other than what they have seen me do here. So these opinions are my own. Or if we talk about, for instance, this presentation, they're the opinions of people that have provided emails or other things to me, and I've largely chosen to keep them anonymous as well. But these opinions are my own, and they are strictly opinions and observations. They are not necessarily always fact or accusation. Prior to that, I've been in WordPress for like 13 or 14 years now. I was the manager of operations at ServerPress. We made a desktop server, which was a popular local development platform that we ran for many years, for about 10 years. And going around being me the rest of the time. So father of eight, I guess I should throw that in there.
Before I go any further,
nope.
You look very calm for father.
I've got no money. There's nothing to sue me for. Okay, I'm a father of eight. All right. So.
That took my breath away. I can't imagine it. But there we go. I'm trying to recover from that tribe. Unfortunately, we haven't got our great Kirk with me. He's doing a presentation at a conference this morning. But he's been a regular. So I said, you got full permission, Kirk, get at it. Before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great interview, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. I want to point out we've got some great special offers from the major sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services, plus a load of other free goodies. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals, and all the free goodies are there. What more could you ask for, my beloved WordPress tribe, or my WP tribe, or whatever thing I'm allowed to utilize?
I think this week it is the tribe that partakes in WordPress, I think.
Yes.
But I'm not positive.
None of us are that too positive, are they? But you can find all the goodies there. What more could you ask for, my beloved tribe? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. So, Mark, let's go straight into it. And like what Mark said, this is for, and as my unofficial legal counsel, Spencer Forum, has told me to say, this is for educational purposes only. All right. That's the key phrase, my legal counsel utilize, right? Yeah.
I used to subscribe to some stock trading services, and they did live streaming a lot and live stock trading. That's how they always started as well, was this is educational purposes only, but this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. So let's start in. Based on your last WordCamp presentation and your discussion with Matt Medeiros on his great podcast, was you that surprised when the WordPress hand grenade exploded between Matt, the great leader, and WP Engine? Was you that surprised, or did you feel not the specific problems that these two camps are having, but was you anticipating something brewing somewhere?
Well, you know, I've always said, and this is something that I've said probably since the first time that I really started paying attention to the WordPress community and people started referring to Matt as the benevolent dictator. I would always say, you know, the thing about a dictator is they will choose to give up benevolence, but they'll never choose to give up being a dictator. And so in that sense, I wouldn't say that I didn't see it coming. I think that what happened was it reached a boiling point really fast. I started to watch the Q&A from actually my hotel room at WordCamp US, and about 15 minutes into it, I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a huge disaster for the community. That was the first thing that I thought about was the community. And so in answer to your question, no, I wasn't surprised, and at the same time I was shocked. And I think that that it's a matter of, you know, we went from kind of a lukewarm temperature to boiling in a matter of minutes. And I think that that's probably what threw me off and shocked me the most. Yeah.
So to recap, you wasn't that surprised. Well, it's like anything. You are surprised, even though intellectually you knew something was coming. When it still happens,
yeah.
The emotional side and the surprise of the moment, as I call it, is still there. Even though you intellectually knew something was coming, in your personal life or business life, you got a pretty good idea something's brewing.
Yeah.
But you still are surprised when it still happens. Is that a good recap?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what it really boils down to, as a kind of a metaphor you look at, for instance, the hurricanes that are going on with Florida, and of course, all of our thoughts and hearts and anything we can do is with them. And I've got so many people, we all know so many people there, but you can be kind of intellectually prepared, but you're never emotionally prepared for it until it happens. And I think that that's what the community at large is dealing with right now, is kind of the emotional aftermath of it happening, and then there's this unknown of, okay, what's going to happen next, and then trying to deal, and plan for that and prepare for that. And there's a lot of emotional baggage or bandwidth that's tied up in that.
I want to discuss that, because I've been doing this podcast now for about 8 years. I can't believe it, actually, Mark. Nor can the listeners believe it. And I'm supportive of WordPress. Mm-hmm. And it's been pretty good to me. I've had my ups and downs with it and the WordPress community, or some elements of it.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, it's been pretty good to me. But I've never really bought into this. I call it the cult of WordPress.
There
are many in the WordPress community that they treat. I've seen it in other organizations and a little bit people that I know that have been members of religious organizations. And I've seen it when I was a young man in politics, where people that they link their personal identity to a political organization, a spiritual organization. And I've actually seen this in WordPress, in my opinion, where people, their whole social baggage, their whole identity is linked to the WordPress community.
Yeah.
And I've never bought into that.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite dangerous myself.
Yeah.
I never really bought into what the great leader said. To me, it never passed the sniff test. As I get older, I'm very blasé about what people say to me and in public. I really look at their actions rather than what they say. Because I think when we're younger, we tend to be influenced by what people say and don't watch what they do. So this is very long-winded, but what I'm saying is I never bought into it. But what I've been surprised is when I talk to other people, they really, really bought in to the concept that this was all open source and all the kind of cultural baggage that went into it. But I never bought into it. Do you think I'm one of the rare exceptions, and also that actually a lot of people really bought into it in a big way?
Judging from my circle of friends within the WordPress community and the people that I've known for years and years, I don't think that you're rare. No, I think that most of the people that I've spoken to, in fact, I got a phone call from someone who's no longer in the WordPress community. I got a phone call last week, and he was like, "Well, it finally happened," we all kind of I think we all kind of knew something was going to happen, and we all knew that it was a cult of sorts, sure. But I think that the people who are disillusioned the most are the people that are newer to it, people that have come into it in the last couple of years, I would say COVID or during COVID, and haven't had the in-depth conversations and the very real conversations and establish the very real personal relationships that a lot of us have within the community, to be able to get a little bit deeper. And you know, I would just, as someone who has fallen for hero worship one or two times in my younger life, I would say never, ever put all of your eggs into one person. You just can't do that, because they're still human. And this is the thing that we do have to keep in mind. I mean, right now, there is a community that is furious with Matt. There's no doubt about it. But
there's also an equal community that are not very happy with WP Engine, isn't it?
Right, right. And, well, I mean, that's a whole other story. I mean, it really has created this situation. I guess it's called the Streisand effect or something like that, where... this isn't binary. It doesn't, you know, and I don't want to use the word evil, but I'm going to. Two things can be evil in a situation. I'm not saying that they are. I'm just saying that two things can be evil, but one thing is more drastic as far as its far-reaching implications. And so you focus your attention on that. And yeah, there are people who you know, and then this is kind of creating this sort of civil war, right, that's going on with the people who are like on one side or the other. And these are people that I still call my friends, and I don't want to go to war with them. We just have different opinions, and we still have to provide for our families, and we still have to do all the things that keep our own little world going.
Well, the fundamental thing, Mark, is that the key fact is an open source project.
Yes, but once again, most of us knew that it was
not really
open source, but not, right? We knew that Matt held all the keys to the kingdom, and we knew that all it would take is one little thing for Matt to pick up his toys and go home. Now, he hasn't done that yet. And I say yet because there's still obviously that possibility with announcements like he's going to announce something today, tomorrow, and Saturday.
I haven't been following it actually.
Yeah,
there's only so much I really got to concentrate on my businesses.
Yeah, right.
I run two businesses on WordPress technology, and that's I do this podcast as a way of promoting my businesses, but also giving to the WordPress community. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm about 6 years ago, I accepted the situation, Mark. I made a couple blog posts that it was when he said he was like the king of work, you know, leader, you know. It just rubbed me up the wrong way, big ways, right?
Yeah.
It just really rubbed me up the wrong way.
Yeah.
But about 6 years after, I think it's about five, maybe 4 to 6 years when he made that statement, he was...
Yeah, right.
And I just accepted the situation for what it
right,
was.
Right,
because he... I was told by people that he owned everything. And I just accepted the situation. It wasn't going to change. He owned everything. What... going by my unofficial legal counsel advice... He came on the show, my unofficial legal counsel, Spencer Forum, and we had a discussion. And Spencer is still a registered lawyer, and he's been an entrepreneur for a number of years in the technology space.
Sure.
And we discussed it publicly, and that it looks like Matt's really got himself into a terrible position.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he would be wise to try and settle this with WP Engine as quickly as possible. But I don't think he probably will do. Do you sense?
I don't. And here's, I'm fascinated by neuroscience. And And one of the, you know, fundamental principles of neuroscience is this idea of survival instinct, right? So you get into that reptile brain side of things. And what happens is when you have convinced yourself that you're in survival mode, you've painted yourself into a corner, all of a sudden right and wrong goes out the window, collateral damage goes out the window, you're just in survival mode. And so I kind of feel like somehow or another, just looking from outsider view, looking in, it feels like this is someone who may have painted himself into a corner and feels that they're in survival mode and doesn't know how to get out except for to fight their way out. And so I don't see it going. I think things could have been okay right up until maybe right after the cease and desist. But the minute that the actual complaint was filed, I think that's when we reached this point of no return of working our way out of a corner. And the thing is, it really, I don't think it would be, I mean, the damage, the collateral damage, I mean, this whole idea of scorched earth is just amazing when you think about how much collateral damage there is as a result of scorched earth. Anything that's scorched earth, the people who suffer, I mean, you watch a monster movie, you watch Godzilla versus Mothra, everybody gets smashed, right? All these innocent people running around getting smashed. That's what happens.
You use the language, cancer, this, yeah, the other.
When yeah. They're extreme terms.
When you decide to utilize those, yeah, that type of, yeah, language, yeah, in public, yeah, that, yeah, is going to be consequences.
Yeah, yeah. And so I am. I'm extremely concerned. I'm concerned for Matt because...
Yeah, in a bizarre way. I've had one interview with him. He handled me with ease, mm-hmm, even though I tried to get some answers out of him, mm-hmm, but he just played with me. Which I expected, but I quite like Matt. He's done me no harm. I don't.
Yeah. And me neither. But I look at my friends and I see the harm and the mental drain and emotional drain. And I mean, you have people talking about, upping their therapy sessions and
I'm sorry, I
have a dark sense of humor, so I,
yeah, I'm English, I'm pretty dark for English, but, so my sister says I'm, yeah, what I consider to be funny is pretty, yeah, sick,
yeah, yeah, but the reality, I mean, I use humor as a coping mechanism.
Butting in a little bit,
absolutely,
the reason why I started grinning and laughing at what you've just said, but I'm sure, is that I compare it to something like the Ukraine. I just, for all the drama and entertainment, and for Matt and other people at WP Engine and other people, it is very upsetting. But I just kind of compare it to fighting a war, being in Ukraine.
Sure, sure.
And I think, it's not pleasant. But this isn't the Ukraine either. This isn't death.
Certainly putting things into perspective is important. But also we have to realize that this is 100% of the reality that people are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And so it's still traumatic. It's, and I can't imagine for a second, what it would be like to live in Ukraine and deal with that, I mean, I used to have a cousin who lived in a country in Africa called Burundi. And he said this was back in the 90s and there was, civil war going on constantly at the time. And he said he slept with a gun under his head, under his pillow every single night because he didn't know when he was going to. I can't imagine what that feels like. So when you put it on paper and you put it in perspective, it does seem, it can certainly seem trivial in the grand scheme of things, but at the same time, this is 100% of what people are having to deal with every day just to survive and just to live. When we have people in the WordPress community who are literally living out of their cars or in their cars, And now they're having to deal with this additional kind of stress of, you know, I may be living out of my car, but I can at least, you know, get some food. And now I don't even know whether I'm going to be able to do that in the future. You know, whatever that self-talk is or whatever their reality is, it's important to at least be sensitive to it. And I'm not coming down on you because obviously, we all grew up with the not wanting to eat the food on our plate and our parents saying, well, there's children starving and, you know, name your country. So, you know, we all grew up with that put it in perspective thing. And, but once again, when you're in survival mode, all you're trying to do is survive. And for some of us, that survival mode is very real. And some of it is that we're just convinced that we're in survival mode at some level, but it is still very real and it is still what drives us. So,
Let's move on. Yeah, because what more could we say that won't get us into some joint serious trouble, you know? Wow.
And I was like, you're going to get into trouble, and you know.
I think there's a lot of people gunning for me on both sides of this, mm-hmm. and some other groups in the WordPress community, wider community. My name is Dirt.
Well, I think that isn't there a saying that if nobody likes you, it means you're doing something right or something like that? Isn't there?
Well, I'm not a psychopath. I do care what right. people think of me. But on the other hand, when I got to my age, there's part of me that doesn't care really. So I've been thinking about this second question. We're going to do this second question and go for our break, Mark. Mm-hmm. But I call the decision a few years ago from the great leader that we were going to go down the React route, mm-hmm. and then Gutenberg. And then when I interviewed him, he said the Gutenberg project was a 10-year project, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Which was news to me. I never heard that one before. Mm-hmm. And Gutenberg... I call the Gutenberg, the people behind Gutenberg, and I call them the merchants of complexity.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
I do call them the merchants of complexity, the crowd, you know. And I stole that term from DHH, you know, David from 37 Signals and mm-hmm. Beyond Rails. Mm-hmm. Actually, he's agreed to come on the show in the new year, actually, Mark.
Oh, nice.
Well, he says he's going to come on. He said he won't discuss this particular subject. Anything else is on the cards, but he doesn't want to get involved in this at all.
Yeah, well, that's because he's smarter than some of us.
Yeah, he's very intelligent, much smarter than me, but he has agreed, and I think he's the type who'll keep his word. Yeah. But so I stole that from my interview, but they are, in my opinion... And the way it was decided, and I think it's had some major consequences in the WordPress community, this decision to base Gutenberg. And I think I couldn't really work. I could understand the editor needed a revamp. But on the other hand, you could just leave it to third parties to provide that. But then you saw what happened with Elementor. Because in some ways, Elementor have built a whole system based on their page builder mm-hmm. that's out of the control of Matt. Mm-hmm. And I thought part of Gutenberg, it seemed to be launched just as a content editor, and then it really broadened out into a website builder. And I think it was driven what he could see with Elementor. I just don't think, because I think in all business models, there's pinch points. There's where people gain control over a whole industry because they have control over those pinch points. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You see that. In a lot of industries where there's a lot of people not making a lot of money, but then there seems to be a few that are making a ton of money. Uh-huh. And they make money because they have identified the pinch points, as I call them. Okay. Do you think, but I think there's been whole consequences about, and I think all the other things that we discussed were there, but I think it's just a gut feeling in me, Mark, that the way this Gutenberg project was handled and the direction it went and the merchants of complexity, I think that put gasoline on the fire, you know. Do you think I'm on the right track at all? Or you do think I'm deluding myself?
First of all, disclaimer number two, I don't follow all this quite as much as a lot of people. And I will say that I do remember when when they started talking about Gutenberg and when it was announced and all that, there was a lot of concern about Gutenberg replacing page builders. And it always seemed like there was going to be more to it than it just being an editor of sorts. My concern with just what I've seen with Gutenberg has really been, it feels like these merchants of complexity, as you like to call them, they haven't done a lot. It seems like the project is confusing to so many people because there isn't good documentation, and people who want to contribute to it and everything, they get confused and walk away from it because they just don't even know where to begin. As far as intent goes, I don't know that I can really speak to the intent of where things are going with it. That's, a pure speculation thing, but I don't necessarily think you're wrong. Does that address your question?
Well, I haven't totally, I just wanted to check if you thought there was any substance where my mind's going, but I haven't totally formulated. It's just a feeling rather than, it's just a gut feeling that this in some ways is all linked in a kind of pattern, but I haven't totally recognized.
I wouldn't put it past it being a pattern. I wouldn't put it past some, greater scheme of some sort.
I don't think he likes other people building bigger businesses than what he's got with Automattic. I think he likes that.
I mean, there are people who have suggested that the reason he's going after WP Engine is for that very reason. I don't know. But WP Engine is certainly a company that is, financially or fiscally giving Automattic a run for its money. And some people have speculated that that's why he's going after them. So it certainly does fall into a pattern if that is in fact the case.
Yeah, I think this is a good spot for us to have our break, our middle break. We got a couple of messages from our sponsors that are much appreciated, that help cover the costs of producing this show. To you, great tribe. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Mark's dealt with my wandering questions well. We've had.
I have eight kids. I know all about wandering questions.
Yeah, I bet you
did. I mentioned that.
You seem so relaxed. I don't get it. I'll be more than. I haven't got even one. I'm childless. I've got nobody. Oh, I'm so depressed. No, I'm not.
No, I'm sorry. I don't want to depress you. But no. If you'd like to talk about that later, I can help you with that too.
Well, no, obviously the things that are not in our lives we paint as green, but the reality can be a bit different to our fantasy, can't it? But on the other hand, I'm sure you get great joy from your family.
It's a double-edged sword, but for sure more joy than anything else.
Right. Before we go into the second half of this great show, I want to point out, folks, that if you're looking for a great hosting plus a lot more partner connected to building out membership and community focused websites, why don't you look at becoming a partner with WP Tonic? We offer some fantastic financial packages plus great support for your build outs. We've got over 8 years experience. Why don't you look at what we've got to offer? You can find out more by going over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. We love to build something special together with you. So, I think the other thing is technical legacy. I think I linked to what we discussed in the first half of the show, Mark, is this decision to go with React. I don't think Automattic had ever attempted to try and build something out like this, like with WooCommerce, they bought it off WooCommerce, right?
Right.
Other key parts they bought in, like I say, WooCommerce was built, they bought it. I don't think they had always relied on the third party community, the third party plugin community to add powerful additional functionality, and then Gutenberg was a total different beast, right? And then at the same time, the decision how to deal with the technical legacy question. Now, WordPress has been around for about 20 years, that it prides itself in backward compatibility. I just feel that it's totally understandable. There's other open source projects that never dealt with technical legacy that well, and it led to those particular projects being quite damaged. But I also think you can just take it too far, and I think one of the problems with WordPress, apart from everything else that we've discussed, is this allegiance to backward compatibility. And it's been just been taken too far. You got any thoughts and insights about this?
I agree. You have to draw the line somewhere. I think that, I mean, I don't know how you can, how far back do we go now? Are we with backwards compatibility? I don't really even know the answer to that, or if it's. I don't think it's all the way back to the beginning, obviously, but I maybe part of it is that WordPress relying on you have to update WordPress because hosts are enforcing a certain level of PHP, or you know, so therefore it's just going to make older versions of WordPress automatically obsolete. Or for that matter, WordPress is saying, okay, we're only supporting PHP X, you know, I don't know, but then, you know, is that that old code getting ripped out of WordPress, and all of that. But I agree that you have to draw the line somewhere, and probably somebody needs to be like on top of that and kind of say, okay, this is as far back as we go. And, you know, but also once again, you run into that problem of, well, WordPress is on X percentage of the net of the web, you know, it's 43% or whatever we're at today. And, of course the statistics are available as to how much of what version is out there. And do you just say, okay, after, you know, anything less than 10% of all WordPress versions or 5% of all WordPress versions, that's the version that we're cutting it off at. And we're not going to, you know, we're going to no longer support that. And if you look at like companies like, you know, not open source companies, but companies like Microsoft or even or Apple, you know, when they...
Well, they're two great examples because they're like two... I actually think it can come across a little bit dictatorial. And Apple, especially their hardware, I think it's between 5 and 7 years. Mm-hmm. But I think that's reasonable where your Mac will be updatable. Microsoft, they are servants of backward compatibility. And I think that...
But even then, they draw the line. They'll say, okay, we are no longer supporting Windows 8 or Windows 7 or whatever. But they give you plenty of warning.
Yeah.
Now, the main difference is every time you open up your machine, you're going to get a warning that says, okay, we're no longer going to support this. But a lot of people who have websites, they hired a developer to do their website. They don't know what platform it's on, and their developer may be long gone, but their website might have been working this whole time. And, you know, and so they're not as likely to get the memo, as say, you know, because you don't want a forward facing warning on the website that says, as of such and such a date, this version of WordPress is no longer going to be, you know, functioning. So, it's a little bit more of a challenge, I think, but the philosophy is sound that you have to like, you have to get rid of the old stuff, you know, if you're going to move on in a big way. And when you consider, you know, SaaS models like, you know, say Wix or something like that, you know, they just update and update and update, and you're always on the latest version. You have to get rid of a certain amount of that legacy in order to be able to move forward. Otherwise, you're spending more time worried about backwards compatibility, and you're not moving as fast as the rest of the industry, and it slows you down as far as progress. Do you want your developers working on new things, or do you want them working on backwards compatibility? I mean,
it's all very difficult. It's just my personal view that it's just been taken a bit too far, this backward compatibility.
Sure,
but there is a sweet point. You can't please everybody.
Right. Right.
There is no right or wrong. You just got to internally debate it and try and find the happy medium.
There will always be somebody who feels they've been dictated to, no matter what the decision is. So, you know, the minute you start implementing anything, and you just have to look at what's better for the masses or the majority of the people out there.
Right, let's go on. So this term founder mode, mod, is a term that's sprung up on Twitter, X. I refuse to call it X.
I do too.
You can call it what.
Speaking of being dictated to, I'm not going to call it that.
That is Twitter, not X, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Now... it's kind of linked in my mind, you know, I was aware of it, but then I kind of pushed it to the back of my mind because, you know, it is what it is. When it came out, the way that Matt had organized WordPress Automatic the foundation, WordPress.org, into this. I think you could take an MA in the way he's organized the structure. Well, I think you could take a 2-year MA.
I think to call it convoluted would be an accurate description.
Yeah, when if this thing is allowed, in my opinion, to stagger on, and what my unofficial legal counsel has told me, this isn't going to play well for Matt. This isn't going to be a happy outcome for him.
Yeah.
Actually, my unofficial legal says that if he goes to court, he's going to be laughed at. And he puts at risk this structure being put under the control of the court, because he's opening himself to all sorts of legal troubles. Is it just when you're mixing with the type of people he's mixing with, and you're in that kind of world, which we will never be part of. Personally, myself, I don't even want to be part of it. So it's got no interest to me anyway. Yeah. Do you think you get into this founder mode attitude? Do you think that's part of the problem as well?
I absolutely agree and think that is a problem. I think one of the things that can happen is you can sit there and you can tell yourself, look, I made all the right decisions up to this much, and look at how big we are. So all of my decisions are therefore good decisions. And then you convince yourself that, you know, that kind of like only I can see the future and only I can do this. And then when you get to that point where you can afford to surround yourself with, not necessarily the people who will tell you what you need to hear, but the people that tell you what you want to hear, I think you buy into that narrative, and then you allow less and less for the possibility for collaboration and for the ability to make mistakes and to own them. And I think that, you know, look, I know how to run a small company. I know the operations of, you know, anything up to maybe 50 people in a company. Would I want to be in a position of running a company? I know what my limitations are. I don't think I could run a company of, you know, 1,500 people or a company, you know, I kind of have this mentality of like, once your company gets big enough that you have an HR department and a legal department, it may be time to bring in people who are actually experienced with running a company. Most of us are not experienced in that way. And that's when you see a lot of founders either fight to hold on, and some do evolve, but I would say largely a lot of them don't. I think it just becomes too much. And a good, in my opinion, a good founder knows their lane, and they might be able to, you know, you look at people like, say, for instance, back to Apple, you look at Steve Jobs, you know, you get more and more, or even what's his name from Amazon? Can't believe I forgot his name, but you know, what's that?
Bezos,
right? You know, they get more and more like an eagle's eye point of view, and less in the hands-on stuff. And I think that one of the issues is with this founder mode thing is that the founders want to keep their hands.
Well, it's kind of. There's cuddly Matt, and then there's dark Matt, and I've only dealt with cuddly Matt, Matt on the PR,
right?
That comes on my podcast, and we have a chat, and he's extremely friendly, and we have a pre-chat and a post-formal chat, and he's extremely dynamic and friendly to me. But then there seems to be dark Matt, doesn't it? That dust isn't particularly very friendly, is
it? Yeah. Well, I mean, some might argue that that's an emotional intelligence thing. I'm not saying one way or the other because I'm not a psychologist as well as not being a lawyer. But some might say that that's an emotional intelligence thing and a matter of dark Matt comes out with dark Matt when cuddly Matt feels threatened. You know, I don't know. But I do feel like there reaches that a company when it grows, it reaches it needs to take more of a hands-off approach and step back a little bit and still continue to provide vision and remove roadblocks for his team to do what they need to do.
I might be totally wrong here. I do think that you do need respect, but you also need a little bit of fear. People, if you're in a position of authority, I know this isn't light, but I just think it's the reality. I think unless you're a sociopath, a psychopath, you've got to have emotional empathy and need for the better of the organization. But also, if people don't fear you at all, they won't respect you.
Well, I think that, yes, that's true. And that is a fine line. But a position in and of itself provides a certain amount of fear.
Yes.
You know, so you're already starting off in this kind of position of, you know, fear me just because that's your title. And then, of course, what you don't want is you don't want people to fear irrational behavior. You know, the only reason that you want to be fearful of a leader is because you're not doing your job in the first place.
Yeah, I was listening because I'm very torn on this and I just want you to do insight. I was working too late last night, finishing off something and taking my painkillers for my toothache. I'm so fearful of dentists, Mark. It's,
well, everybody hates a dentist.
And I've got two quotes already, and they're giving me two totally contradictory synopsis of my agony, right? And the amount of money it's going to cost to sort it out, Mark. But I was listening to a lady who's based in Australia. I won't mention her name. And she was scathing on that. I mean, it was 45 minute on YouTube, absolute assassination of him. I mean, on the other hand, I think that's well over the top, because I'm kind of stuck in the middle because I honestly don't think he's doing himself any favors. And we all make mistakes, but as we get older, we learn the number one thing that you need to do when you're in a mess is stop digging.
Sure. Yeah. But if you've surrounded yourself, once again, if you're in a position, and I think this happens with a lot of people who kind of have set themselves up in an ivory tower, if you've surrounded yourself with people who are going to tell you what you want to hear, you're not gonna necessarily know, hey, it's time to stop digging here, you know, because everyone is encouraging your behavior. And
well, it's a bit like Matt Medeiros. He had great he thought South Africa was gonna sort everything out, that you could go to her, and I wasn't surprised when she resigned because I thought I thought about over a year ago, 6 months ago, that her position was unattainable, that it was totally painful. I would have, unless I was in severe financial situation where I had no option, I would have resigned 6 months ago, you know, so I wasn't surprised that she disappeared.
Well, you're talking about Josefa. Yeah. So Josefa, I've known Josefa since before she was with Automattic. She was the first WordCamp I ever went to by myself. was at WordCamp Kansas City 2013 or 14. And she was the first person to greet me. And she and I became fast friends because she does that with everybody. Josepha is an intelligent, principled person. So no, this didn't surprise me. Because she sticks to her principles above all else. That's one thing that I know about her, is that the principles will always come first. And if she saw something, but that is an indication of, you know, of issues when someone that I respect, who is closer to a situation says, look, this is not tenable anymore. You know, that is cause for concern. And I think that that's what a lot of people are seeing, because she was greatly loved by the community, and people, you know, kind of took that as a dagger to the heart, in a way when she left. And I know, that she, well, I don't know that, but I suspect that before resigning, she knew that that was going to be the impact. And that's probably the, if anything, that's probably the once again, pure speculation, but probably the deciding factor, the thing that maybe kept her from deciding earlier on, because she knows that she's well loved and respected, and because she cares so deeply about the community and the people in it, that she probably didn't want to feel like she was letting them down.
I interviewed her. She was extremely pleasant. She wouldn't really answer any of my questions.
She's smart.
But it's not intelligent. I can only put the questions. I've got no tools of interrogation at my disposal. Yeah. But she wouldn't really answer any of my questions, nor would her boss really answer any of my questions. So I feel I have to put them, though, to have any credibility in my own spirit. Well, I don't expect people to answer anything I asked them, unless they need to. Where do you? I'm going to junk the last two questions because you've been. I just want where.
Because I've talked too much.
No, but I've butted that too much. I've actually got feedback. Our last roundtable show, I butted in a lot, I've tried not to butt in too much here.
Sorry.
Have I done a reasonable job? Not.
Once again, I grew up in a family, even before the eight kids, I grew up in a family where our discussions around the dinner table was us having very heated discussions and opinions and butting in. And so I'm used to being the one who butts in and used to being the one who shuts up and listens. So, I don't feel like you've been out of line or what? It's a conversation.
So where do you think this is all leading to? Because in the end, I think it could end up for the bigger WordPress community. Things could work out quite well, actually. I think that this ain't good news for the people involved.
Yeah.
But I actually think in the bigger picture, things could work out or not. On the other hand, it could work out not that well, but I think there are going to be some fundamental changes coming up. What do you, or do you think things are just going to convert back to what they were before this hand grenade?
I don't think they can go back to where they were. And I am going to, quote the wisdom of my at the time 7-year-old child.
You always want to listen to your 7-year-old child.
I'm telling you, this kid, he has more wisdom than I mean, he's what people would call an old soul. But we were talking about one time about a friendship of that was kind of going south of his, and he just looked at me. He says, "You know," he says, "I think it boils down to, sometimes you have to tear things down to the ground in order to build them up stronger." And I think that that is kind of what we're dealing with right now, is we are in this tearing down mode. And I think that WordPress is not going anywhere. I think it's going to come back stronger, but it's going to do a lot of collateral damage. It already has. it's going to create a lot of non-confidence in a lot of people. It's going to take a while to build that trust back. And I think that the way that that trust can be built back in the quickest possible way is literally to strip one or two of the keys away from the king, you know, and that probably has to do with the foundation, and maybe even .org. But there's also the possibility that you could have a bunch of hosts that form a consortium of sorts and say, look, you know, we are now going to host the repository and this is how it's going to work and all of that. I don't know, but I think that, I think truly going from democratizing publishing to maybe democratizing the community a little bit more, I think is the way that things have to go. And I think that when that happens, I think that WordPress will be stronger than ever. So
A lot of people in a very tricky position because they don't really want to fall out with him. But on the other hand, they're thinking to themselves, I can't build any business and trust this guy anymore.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying with the trust factor here is definitely something to be considered. And the thing is, and this is where we talk about rationality, a rational person might look at it and go, okay, I want WordPress to be my legacy. I want this open source community to be my legacy. And the way to make this legacy even greater and stronger is for me to step away from certain things. And then people will still look at me as like the one who created this legacy in the first place. But now it's bigger than I ever thought it would be. It's bigger than I could have made it because I included so many other people in there in order to make this legacy, you know, what it became. And this is certainly what I hope for. And I think that there could be a lot of trust regained if Matt were to say, you know what, even if he were to say with the foundation, and I don't know, I haven't really looked into it this much, but if he were to say to the foundation, you know what, we're going to make the board of the foundation 7 people, and it's going to be these people who actually have decision-making power. So it's not just that 2 of the 3 people, you know, could take away my trademark authority.
Two people
nobody's ever heard of. The time feels like he doesn't even remember their names, right? So if there's like 7 people on a board who are active members of this open source community who understand all the intricacies of WordPress, and he could still be a board member, even that could probably be workable, I would think. But once again, I don't know enough about bylaws and all of that to be able to speak to it. But it would seem like if you just increase the board size a little bit with like active members, that would be useful too. And, you know, active voting members that have to be voted on and off the board.
Well, he's become a merchant of complexity, and Gutenberg, in my opinion, has become a merchant of complexity. And I think anybody can build something that works that's really very complicated. It takes a genius to build something that's powerful but also simplistic.
It's kind of like a car, right? What's under the hood can be as complex as you want it to be, but once you get into the driver's seat, you know, you still want it to just be a gas pedal, you know, a shifter and a steering wheel, right? So, you know, and you want.
Well, funny enough, you can see that in modern car design. You can see that. Obviously, I have a Subaru. Mm-hmm. And it has eyesight that's supposed to help you. But the truth of the thing, Mark, is when the weather gets really severe, it switches off. When I really need eyesight to really work, the damn thing switches off. When I'm being caught out in a blizzard or in a rainstorm and it's coming down I drove to Kansas a few months ago, and I was in a rainstorm, and I couldn't. It switched off, and I couldn't even see 2 feet, 5 feet in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when it decides to switch off, or when I'm in a blizzard, that's when it decides to switch off when you really need it.
And, well, and of course.
You have these screens where you have to click a button, you know, when you're driving, where you, a knob works perfectly fine.
No, my girlfriend's car is an electric, and I love that car. It's a great car. But everything is done from screen. It's not a Tesla, but you know, everything is done from the screen, and there are very few knobs to do anything. And so she's like, "Well, how do I like turn up the fan on this if I want to get?" Well, you have to go here, then here, then here, then here, and it's like, you know. And she's like, "How am I supposed to remember that?" Well, repetition, as opposed to, you know, it's a matter of. You don't need to bring the complexity to the user experience. The complexity needs to stay under the hood.
Yeah, and I've never been a fan of React publicly. It does the job, and I understand it, but I don't like React, and I don't like the React community and some of the lead on, especially on YouTube, some of its public biggest influencers. I think they're pricks, you know, are some of their biggest influencers in the React community. I think they're total douchebags.
Yeah. Tell me how you really feel about them.
Yeah, but just, I'm not going to name them because they sue me, but they're douchebags. Yeah. And they encourage douchebaggery, as far as I'm concerned, of the highest order. Yeah. So I've never been, I've always preferred either Vue or Levant, you know, or even Ruby on Rails, you know. I don't agree with everything David says, but at least he's got opinion. Mm-hmm. And I prefer that, but I've never been a fan of React. So that's just me. All right, I think I've made enough enemies in this show. Mark.
I hope I haven't made any, but
I think you'd be very fair. I think we've had a great discussion. I think we've covered a lot of stuff. Mark, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and your great insights? And
I don't have any of my great insights.
I think you've probably got a lot of insights about
these. I have a lot of opinions. I definitely have a lot of opinions. You know, I'm on Twitter at Mark Benzak, and that's M-A-R-C.
Oh, you want to get off that. That's bad for you.
Yeah. E-N-Z-A-K. You know, I actually don't mind Twitter, but I take it for what it's worth or for what it is. And I don't let the, I have a pretty thick skin. So, so it doesn't really bother me to get into
it. A certain group of the WordPress community started gunning me. To say the lack of insight in Twitter was mind-numbing.
Well, I mean,
would be the understatement of the century.
Sure. I mean, I think most social media, it's kind of that way. I really am a big fan, and I wrote a blog post, markbenzakane.com, which is a website in progress. But I wrote a blog post about being curious and not judgmental, and which is, you know, a Ted Lasso reference. One of the best scenes in all of television is a scene where he talks about being curious and not judgmental. And I think that's really what we need more of is Twitter is, of course, full of judgmental. But it is nice when people are curious.
Well, it's a bit questions. Like, you know, I must have done over 1,000 hours of podcasts and YouTube content, over 1,000 hours mm-hmm. over the last 8 years. And I got criticized for 5 minutes of an open discussion. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, they don't take the totality of the 1,000 hours. They only mm-hmm. take in 5 minutes that they weren't happy with. So,
but that's the other thing is we have to, I really feel like we have to be, we have to show grace to people and allow for them to be human, because we're all tired, especially after the last few weeks. We're tired. We're going to say things
well,
that we may not mean.
That's the sad thing, because I wish Matt well.
Yeah.
When he was doing his last major interview, and it was interesting who he chose to do, though. He did a PR blit. And you've got to say that he is prepared to be interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to give him credit for that. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting who he chose to be interviewed. Mm-hmm. But on some of those interviews, he did not look well at all. Mm-hmm. He admitted he wasn't. He was not. He had some physical complaint. It wasn't his mental condition, but he didn't look well. Yeah. So I do wish him, sincerely wish him well. And also I hope that this matter, it would be, in my opinion, it would really be best for him that this matter is settled as quickly as possible. Because I don't think it's doing him any favours at all, in my opinion.
I agree.
Then there are some people that seem to be getting delight out of the situation. I personally don't get any delight out. I accept it for what it is and the things that are driving it, and I just accept it, but I don't get personal delight out of it. I feel I have to talk about it. I'm probably not going to talk about much more. Well, we've got a round table show at the end of this month coming up.
I think though that I don't know that I'd call it. I mean, I know what you're talking about. I think it's satisfaction more than delight, in that they're proven. There's always a certain amount of satisfaction of being proven right, which I think some of these people who have been very, very vocal have been very satisfied to see that a lot of the things that they've talked about, are true. But I also suspect that they would rather be wrong. Or they'd rather see a change in direction that disproves the old information. But we're humans, and we do, we do get a little bit of a dopamine,
Well, we're not interested.
When we find out we were right about something.
Well, generally,
validated for having those feelings. There's validation that hey, I've been saying this for a long time. Now the community is validating what I'm saying. And I think that, it's always satisfying to be validated. And it's not necessarily that they wish ill will on Matt as much as they just are satisfied with the fact that people are starting to see what they've seen for a long time and starting to listen to them. It's no different than a scientist who's been laughed at for years, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, maybe there is something to these trees actually talk to each other or something like that, and so I wouldn't say that people are gleeful about I would disagree with you on that people are actually taking a great enjoyment out of the fact that that this is happening as much.
I think the bulk of people, but I would disagree with you. There is a certain,
there might be,
very small minority that you can watch them have been extremely vocal. Some of the things they've said about Matt, I actually agree with, but it's been the tone and the volume and the utter, but he has dug a grave for himself.
I agree. I have a hard time.
For some reason, he's thrown himself into it.
Well, I mean, I think that this is a situation of, when the emperor has no clothes, right? And then the emperor has to deal with that. And there's a lot of emotional baggage that goes along with that. And then at some point in time, you hope the emperor looks at himself and says, oh, you know what? I really am not wearing any clothes right now, and maybe I should put some clothes on, I know that there are some people that probably are happy about it. I am a unicorns and butterflies kind of person, as I'm told often.
My father said something to me, and it's always stuck in my mind. He said, look, Jonathan, you don't have to go looking for trouble. Trouble will find you.
Yeah, well, I do.
Yeah,
yeah.
you know, the idea that you live a self-righteous life and you're doing things, the idea that disaster and trouble won't come your way is delusionary. It will find its way to your door, no matter how right, self-righteous you think
absolutely.
You are.
Absolutely.
But you don't have to go gunning for it, because it'll come knocking on your door periodically anyway in your life.
For sure. For sure. Yeah,
and that's always stuck in me.
There's no hiding. There's no hiding from
it. You don't have to go looking for it.
Nope.
It's going to find its way to your door anyway. So, all right. I think it's time you've been gracious with your time.
Of course.
You've dealt with my madness. It's been a great discussion.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think we covered some great stuff, and I think we've tried to be as fair as possible. And I think we've achieved that, Mark. We'll see you next week, beloved tribe, with another great interview. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.